Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I've been here my whole life. I never had to go through nothing like this. Don't none of y'all know me, but I don't do nothing to nobody. Anybody say so, they a lie. They a damn lie.
That was somebody's child. Y'all
I think that it was irresponsible. I think that it was unnecessarily provocative. But I think it only cleared why many of us said, let's go to the federal government from the first place.
I'm not making sure. I'm giving an analysis that compounded.
We know what happened here. Turn it off. It's a tragedy all around. There's enough blame to go around. But who do you blame for the riots and looting? Who do you blame for the businesses that were burnt to the ground, all minority-owned, Walgreens, Little Caesars Pizza, AutoZone, Beauty Town, Title Max, Family Dollar Store, and O'Reilly Auto Parts? Who do you blame for burning these stores to the grounds? Cake Store attacked by vandals. Who do you blame for not reporting that this innocent young man, Michael Brown, was not returning from a medical school class in anatomy or physiology? He was not walking back from college. He had just beaten up an immigrant Indian shopkeeper. It's on tape for you to watch if you care to watch it. Beat the guy up, threw him around like a little rag doll in his store, then robbed his store of cigarillos and whatever. Petty larceny and an assault. And he was out on the street. And the Indian shopkeeper called 911. The police were looking for someone who matched the description of Brown. Wilson saw him, said, go over to the sidewalk. The rest is history. You've read everything. You've heard everything. But why is that left out of the narrative? That this kid was not coming from medical school, from an anatomy lab. That he was just they made it sound like an innocent black guy was walking around and a white guy looked for him and hunted him down and shot him. That's Al Sharpton. That's Jesse Jackson. That's Eric Holder. That's Barack Obama. That was their narrative from day one, damn it. This is not an easy show for me to do, but I'll tell you where the blame lies. It lies in the White House. The Obama machine laid the groundwork for Ferguson from the get-go, from the day they seized power, from the day they were foisted upon us. They've been dividing and turning us against each other. And all they've ever done is talk about racial enmity in this country. They have set racial relations back 50 years in this country. They have set it back. Every speech that they have given, Michelle Obama included, you say, where am I coming from? I'll read you what she said last June at a college, at a high school to high school graduates. Here's Michelle Obama, the first lady, and I ask, is she trying to agitate these children? Stir them up to do what? And I put it in my book called Stop the Coming Civil War because I saw what they were doing. Let me read what she said to these children in a minority school. She said this. She said, the fact is that your experience here in Topeka would have been unimaginable back in 1954 when Brown versus Board of Education first went to the Supreme Court. This would not be possible. Back then, Topeka, like so many cities, was segregated. So black folks and white folks had separate restaurants, separate hotels, separate movie theaters, swimming pools, and of course, the elementary schools were segregated too. And I asked you, how do you feel about the First Lady stirring up such racial enmity in this speech? How would you feel if I told you that I believe it's not an isolated incident? And then on page 3, see, I saw this coming. I didn't know how it would come, but I saw this coming. They were laying the groundwork for a conflagration in the country. And then I quote Attorney General Eric Holder in his graduation speech. You want to hear what he said? The man of peace? Here's what Eric Holder said. Codified segregation of public schools has been barred since Brown versus Board of Education. But in too many of our school districts, significant divisions persist, and segregation has reoccurred, including, listen to this carefully, zero-tolerance school discipline practices that, while well-intentioned and aimed at promoting school safety, affect black males at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers. Wink, wink, nod, nod, don't listen to the law, don't follow the rules, we'll cover you, we got your back. Thank you, Eric Holder. Did you hear what Eric Holder said? He told his audience that black males are targeted not because they cause more disruption and violence in the classroom, but because they're black. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? They have a narrative. I saw this coming from the get-go, from day one. My first chapter in Stop the Coming Civil War is called Graduating to Treason, question mark. Graduating to Treason. And as far as I'm concerned, this entire administration is responsible. From day one. How do you think they came to power? Do you think that Barack Obama was picked for the presidency because of his genius? Do you think Eric Holder was picked to be the top law enforcement official in the United States of America because of his genius? You know why they were picked. You know how they got where they are. You know how they got where they are and stay where they are. They're Al Sharpton with a smoother act. It's as though Al Sharpton's running America. Why do I say it? Because he is running America. He picked the next attorney general, they say. He's in the White House, in and out of the White House. Not a PhD in chemistry, not a Nobel Prize winner in physics, but a street agitator is a confidant of Eric Holder and Barack Obama. So what do you expect? The man who gave us Freddie's Fashion Mart and Tawana Brawley may as well be in the White House, because that's what we have. So you got a lot to blame here, don't you? Now, this won't bring Michael Brown back, and it's unfortunate that he got into this confrontation with a police officer. But let me tell you something I learned when I was a kid. I didn't grow up in a neighborhood like that, but I grew up in a neighborhood where there was trouble, and I was warned by one of my friend's fathers, if a cop ever pulls you over for a ticket, say yes, sir, and give him your license. If you're ever stopped by a cop in the streets, don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. They are the law. That's what I was told. And that's why none of us got shot by a cop. That's why none of us got beaten up behind a police station with a nightstick. They are the law. They are the law. They are given the authority to uphold the law. And let me tell you something else. Many of you don't even know what Ferguson, Missouri is, or where it is, or what it's like. You think it's a slum, don't you? You think it's an impoverished slum. Well, it isn't. It isn't. It looks like a Norman Rockwell suburb. It's clean. It was beautiful until the out-of-state agitators were brought in. The same out-of-state agitators that gave us Barack Obama were brought into Ferguson, and they stayed there, they camped there, and they agitated until this happened, until the city was almost burnt to the ground. Same in Oakland, California. What do they do for a living, these professional rioters? Don't seem to have any jobs at night. Doesn't seem they were home last night at 11 o'clock. They were out in the street burning and looting, weren't they? What a disgrace it really is. That's how you show your concern about someone's civil rights. You rob a pair of sneakers. You break into an auto store and you rob a battery. That's how you show your unhappiness. Yeah, I blame the media as well, by the way. I couldn't believe what I was watching last night. Fox News included that Shepard Smith should go down in the Hall of Shame for one of the worst people in the history of television. They're saying, oh, where are the police when this fire is starting? I wonder why there's no police reaction. Where's the police reaction? This is done by a bunch of amateurs, they kept saying. And what if the police had preemptively acted, Shep? What if the police had gone in to take the matches out of the hands of the children who are about to burn the building down, Shep? What would you have said? They overreacted? They acted too soon? They should have let the children, the poor minority children, play with matches and gasoline? And they denied their civil rights? They denied them their expression of their civil rights by taking away the matches and the gasoline, Shep? Of course that's what you would have said. The media burnt that city to the ground. The media burnt that city to the ground. And how many months were they there? That moron from CNN, Don Lemon, put on his flak jacket. He almost lived there. Going around with a camera to every one of the lowlifes he could find in the street. Whoever was more low, he found. Asked them their feelings. Stirred them up. You take the cameras away. You take the incentive away for them to act up. It's an old story. Didn't start in Ferguson, and it's not going to end in Ferguson. Go back to the 1960s when Newark, New Jersey was burnt to the ground by minorities who went wild in the streets. Newark had been a thriving, beautiful city in New Jersey. You know what it was after the riots? A shell. A shell, and Newark never recovered. And that's what you get when you let a media run wild in the country. Now, if you add a media that's given to if it bleeds, it leads, and if it burns, it earns, and then you turn it over to racial instigators like Barack Obama and Eric Holder, you have what happened yesterday. And that's my monologue, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
Let us not forget, the only one that makes a presentation in the grand jury is the prosecutor.
Yep.
There is no cross-examination.
Right.
So for him to talk about inconsistencies is unchallenged because there's no one representing the other side to come and cross-examine what he put up.
So here's an uneducated street rat, Al Sharpton, so far as I know, never went to high school, who's now judge, jury, and hangman. Now he's the jury. Now he's above the Supreme Court. Now he knows the law. So far as we know, we don't know where he got his reverend degree from, but everyone gets down on their hands and knees and grovels before this street garbage. I don't understand a nation that lets a piece of garbage like this have so much power. I never understood this. I don't know why he wasn't arrested for his IRS swindles. I don't know why he wasn't thrown in the slammer for Tawana Brawley. I'll never understand who really is behind this guy. But now he wants to be judge, jury, and executioner. Now, the narrative begins with an innocent black youth coming back from studies where he was going to be the next Albert Einstein, no doubt, in the university, studying in the lab, and walking down the street peacefully when an evil Ku Klux Klan officer dressed in his police uniform, comes up and tells him to stop. And the poor innocent young man, with his mind on the heavens and his future as a medical doctor, perhaps even a surgeon, God only knows, is stunned by the officer's commands. And he puts his hands up, and the Ku Klux Klan officer in a police uniform guns him down in cold blood. That's what Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all a bunch of them would have you believe. That's the narrative. But let's have the real narrative. You can see it on videotape. See a little Indian shopkeeper, an immigrant, who wasn't on welfare, not sitting around in his fat behind doing nothing his whole life. He came over from India and saved his money and opened a little grocery store in the neighborhood. And this group of bums comes in and roughs him up, throws him around like a rag doll, steals cigars or whatever else, and walks out. The guy calls 911. Have you heard that anywhere? Did you know there was a 911 bulletin out for someone who looked like Michael Brown? So the cop is now driving around. And the cop, Wilson, tells the grand jury, sees Brown and a friend, Dorian Johnson, walking in the street. Police officer said he told him to move to the sidewalk, which drew a curse from Brown. Then Wilson noticed that Brown had a handful of cigars, quote, and that's when it clicked for him that the men were suspects in a theft at a convenience store reported just minutes earlier. So the cop, Wilson, calls for backup before maneuvering his vehicle in front of Brown and his friend. Wilson, who was much smaller than the 6'4", 290-pound Brown, are you ready, says he was in fear for his life as Brown slammed his squad car door on him and pummeled him through the window, punched him in the face through the window. A few minutes after Wilson confronted him walking in the middle of the street, he said he felt like a five-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan. Now, let's pause right there. You've got a lot of fools in the media saying, well, he's 6'2" and he's 220 pounds. Mr. Brown was only 6'4" and 290 pounds. See, I'm a fan of boxing. If a man is 5 pounds heavier than the other man, he is usually in a different weight class. Now, you think 290 and 240 is the same, then you know nothing about physicality. And I'll tell you something else that most of you idiots don't know. If you put a head against the hard surface, you can kill the man. You know what that means? Take a fist, take a head, and find a hard surface, and you can kill that person. Do you understand what the officer was facing? He was facing homicide by Brown. He was getting punched in his own car. He was going to be killed. This guy was going to rip his gun out of his hand and shoot him. So what would you have heard? Let's run the clock back now. Let's say this guy, Brown, would have wrestled the gun away from Officer Wilson and turned it on him and shot him in the car. And then Wilson would have run away, high-fived his friends, probably hiding in the projects. And there'd be a call about a cop shot and killed in Ferguson. Would you be hearing about that today? Would there have been marches? Would our attorney general have looked into investigating those in the housing projects who executed the white police officer? Would Barack Obama have taken time out from his golf lessons to have given a little speech about whatever he wanted to say? No, it would have been another statistic, another dead cop. That's what you would have had. And remember who they are, and I'll say it again. They're the thin blue line. They are, despite the rotten apples who exist in all walks of life, the cops are the wolfhounds. And the streets and the cities are filled with wolves. And if we don't have the wolfhounds in the thin blue line, the wolves will be coming for you. They'll be punching you in your car, ripping you out of your car, and stealing you out of your own car, raping your wife, and robbing you blind. And the only thing that keeps the wolves away are the wolfhounds, who the vermin in the media seem to hate. And that's my monologue. And now we'll go to some of the other incidents that occurred and take some of the calls on the Savage Nation. Who do you blame for the riots and looting? Do you think the grand jury finding was fair? As I speak to you, there are protests underway in Atlanta and Baltimore. Apparently, the lowlifes didn't have enough fun last night. Apparently, those who don't work for a living or sell drugs or whatever they do are using this as a pretext to weaken the police. Something you don't know. One of the protocols of the Communist Party USA is to stir up the masses against the police and weaken the police and then disarm the police. And if you think there are no communists behind this, then I got another guest coming for you. Now listen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
They determined that no probable cause exists to file any charge against Officer Wilson and returned a no true bill on each of the five indictments. The physical and scientific evidence examined by the grand jury, combined with the witness statements supported and substantiated by that physical evidence, tells the accurate and tragic story of what happened.
And what I love most about it all is that all of the agitators out there, including Al Sharpton, are saying, but that grand jury's not like a regular jury. He should have gone to a regular jury where he would have gotten a trial. Skip the grand jury. All right, Al, I'll tell you what. The next time a drug dealer is caught dealing drugs and his shyster lawyer demands a grand jury hear the evidence before going to trial, why don't we go to the shyster lawyer representing one of the drug dealers in the St. Louis area or New York City and say, you know what, let's skip the grand jury. Let's go right to trial. And what would the reaction be from the civil rights community if suddenly they were taken right to trial every time they were accused of a crime? Why, they'd say that there was due process violations, wouldn't they? So you got to be very cautious who you listen to. If you listen to individuals without any knowledge of the law, any no education whatsoever to begin with, you're going to come up with the conclusion that this was basically a kangaroo court. That's what they're telling you. Now, not only was Mr. Brown a medical student on his way to winning a Nobel Prize in a few years, and Officer Wilson, a Ku Klux Klan member, who was only wearing a police uniform by day, they'd have you believe that due process wasn't followed. Don't confuse me with no grand jury garbage. No, that's no good. Now already they're all experts in the law now. No grand jury. Go right to trial, then you'll have a fair trial. Put them on a trial in the housing project. Give them a 30-minute trial and hang a noose over a tree and hang the policeman. That's what you wanted, Al, isn't it? WJR, David, you'll be the first caller. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. The point that people seem to be missing in this is that Michael Brown signed his own death warrant the moment that he reached for the officer's gun. I'm a certified CPL holder myself. I carry a gun with me every day, everywhere that I go. And, you know, if I was in a fist fight with somebody and that's all that was being used, I would not be all that worried. But the moment that somebody reached for my gun, the first thought that I'm going to have is that that person, as soon as they get their hands on my gun, is going to turn it on me and they are going to use it against me. And it is at that exact moment that I begin fearing for my life, and it is at that exact moment that I am legally authorized to use lethal force in self-defense.
It's not a comparable case in some ways, because you're not a police officer licensed by the state to uphold the law, and the fact of the matter is what you're saying is true on one hand, but on the other, the circumstances are even more mitigating in favor of Officer Wilson. He is the law. You're not. So in that case, Michael Brown challenged the law and took the law into his own hands and said, screw you. I mean, you've read some of the grand jury testimony. You know, this is interesting, as they released it to the public, and you could see the insults he was hurling at this cop. And when the cop said, back up, or I'm going to shoot you, he says, you're too much of a you-know-what to shoot me. Did you hear that part of it?
Yes, sir, I did.
All right, well, you see, that's something that I guess didn't make it to Al Sharpton's desk. Thanks for the call. Now, hanging over the head of the police department in Ferguson, Missouri, and over Officer Wilson's head is the superb justice in the minds of many of our attorney general, who will bring federal civil rights charges against him if he can. He knows he has no grounds to do so, because the standards to bring a civil rights action are extremely high. Of course, that wouldn't stop them in this case in order to satisfy mob justice, but the standards are extremely high. In order to bring a civil rights action against anyone, the standards are much higher than they would be for a normal civil rights action. In fact, we have him ourselves on one of the sound bites. I thought we had the attorney general saying that it's very difficult to do because the standards are so high. I guess we don't have that one. I know we had it earlier. But we do have another legal expert about the Ferguson case, and that would be Jesse Jackson, as you well know, a very fair-minded man who tried to fundraise off the murder. In fact, he was so vile in what he was doing that the street radicals threw him out of town and said to get out of town. He went there and tried to raise money for his cause, to raise money off the corpse. So here's old Jesse Jackson in clip 22.
I'm not making sure. I'm giving an analysis that compounded injustice leads to anarchy and justice leads to peace. But I'm saying, why am I against violence? One, because bricks and bullets cannot match on a practical level.
We don't know what he's talking about. He's trying to have it both ways. But the fact of the matter is, this is not over yet, because this administration has set the stage for racial enmity to go on right until the end. In fact, if they could, they'd leave the country burning for the Republican administration that's going to be inheriting the government come January. That's what they like nothing better than to give the Republicans a scorched earth to inherit come January. That's what terrorists do, is that when they retreat and withdraw after a battle, they burn things to the ground. And this Democrat socialist administration, in my opinion, would like to burn America to the ground if they could, to give it to the Republicans so no one can focus on the damage they've really done to the country. This is an outrage. And Obama is the number one reason this happened. That's my opinion. You say, well, wait a minute, you're just saying that? Is there any evidence to that effect? Yes, I'll go back again to the evidence. The Obamas, both of them, and Holder, laid the groundwork for Ferguson. If you read the speeches the First Lady gave last June, I noted them in Stop the Coming Civil War. I was outraged. It's one of the reasons I wrote the book, was I saw what they were doing. I was going crazy. I was listening to her give these speeches, stirring up kids who never heard of these things about segregation, separate water fountains. What was the point of that? What was she telling children that for? Why? To get them angry, to make them hate white people, to divide the racist. Why? Because Marxist culture is built on division. Marxist culture is built upon enmity between people. So she talked about segregation in Topeka, Kansas. Then Holder gave a speech, told his audience that black males are targeted in schools because the zero tolerance policies, which were well-intentioned, and aimed at promoting school safety, affect black males at a rate three times higher than their white peers. That's like saying, you know what, the speed limit is 60 miles an hour. It's a fixed speed limit for all people. But it seems that the most of the people we're pulling over are white teenagers. So you could say, therefore, that the 60-mile-an-hour speed limit is aimed at white teenagers because they're the ones who mostly who speed. I mean, that's the same illogic that he's using here. In other words, it's not aimed at anybody. That's the law. And then we had Timothy Geithner. You remember Timothy Geithner? I have him in my book, too. I was shocked at that punk. Timothy Geithner, a spoiled rich white boy from Queens, New York, who had everything handed to him as he grew up, had the nerve to try to get down with the other administration double speakers to push a biased and untruthful racial message at a speech he gave at a college last June. And wait, not to be outdone, not to be undone or outdone by any of them, is none other than one of the richest women in the world, Nancy Pelosi. Speaking last June at a college as though she was a member of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And at this graduation speech, she agitated the crowd about fellow activists and disruptors, and she said, be a disruptor. She told the crowd to be disruptors. Nancy Pelosi told the crowd at Berkeley, my alma mater, who will not have anyone of any quality or dignity speak there. They will only have left-wing vermin speak as graduation speakers. She actually told the crowd at Berkeley to be disruptors. Did you hear this? That's what Pelosi did. She incited the graduating seniors from UC Berkeley, an institution that was once a hotbed of free speech, but where students and faculty now fear speaking their minds to express any opinion that doesn't agree with the opinion of the rabble running the university. And so Pelosi incited them to become disruptors. So what was the message of class and racial division to graduating college seniors on the same weekend from Obama, Mrs. Obama, Holder, Geithner, and Pelosi? What was that about? And I asked, why would they spread the message of racial inequality, page 5? And then I went on, you're not going to believe this. Not to be outdone by the race-baiting, Democrat Jay Rockefeller espoused his view, listen to this, that, quote, skin color was behind the rejection of our Euro-African president's failed policies. Could you believe it? Even Democrat Jay Rockefeller tried to provoke racial enmity in the country. And I saw what was coming. I didn't know how the conflagration would initiate. Frankly, I don't know whether this is going to end. Frankly, with the government that we have now in this country, and when we read that Obama, the day after the election, met with several of the leaders of the so-called protest group from Ferguson and told them, keep the message going? What was he saying to them? What was Barack Obama saying to one of the agitators who he had in the White House the day after the election when he said, keep the message going? I don't know, but last night at exactly 9 o'clock Eastern, when the prosecutor said no indictment, the president went on the air, and the minute he went on the air, as if in a coded message, the fires began. You say there's no cause and effect? Of course not. They're far too smart for that. You say you can't prove it? Of course I can't prove it. Can I allege it? I'm alleging it. I'm alleging it, but I can't prove it. I'm alleging there's a gigantic conspiracy between this racially divisive government and the street protests going on as I speak right now in America. They are responsible. Because, you see, a responsible president would have given the following words last night. He wouldn't have gone on there and given an equivocating speech telling both sides to be calm. You know what he would have said? He would have said that the grand jury has found you must respect the law, and I'm now speaking to all of you people in the streets. If you break the law, the entire law is going to be thrown at you. We will prosecute you to the full extent of the law, and I'll bring federal charges against any outside agitators who have come in there under the Anti-Riot Act. That's what a president would have said who didn't want it to burn, baby, burn. But I think that this group grew up on burn, baby, burn. You get it? So now they got exactly what they want. WABC, John, you're next up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, there's a movie called The Purge, in which for 12 hours, one time a year, it's a national holiday where there is no law. You can murder, you can riot, you can rape, you can do whatever you want, and it's been brought to us by Obama. It was kind of surreal for me last night when I watched this go down, knowing that the police would not respond.
But isn't it interesting that the police showed the most amazing restraint I've ever seen, letting these rats burn and loot, and did nothing? And the rats in the media, like, what's that? Shepard Smith, one of the dumbest people I've ever seen on the air, had the nerve to say, well, what's wrong with the police? They're not doing anything. This is real amateur hour. And as I said, what if the police had acted to take away the matches from the troublemakers? Then what would Shepard Smith, the moron, have said? That they were preemptively acting and violating the civil rights of the street agitators because they took away their gasoline and their matches?
Dr. Savage, I have 20...
Do I make sense? Let me ask you something. Am I making sense to you?
Are you making sense to me? Yes, but you don't understand. The police were told to stand down. I have 25 years law enforcement. I've been involved in riots in New York City. The police were ordered to stand down.
No, I know that, but why were they told to stand down?
Because it's a sacrifice, okay?
That's right. They were told to stand down because they were afraid of morons like Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper and the other morons who would have said, ooh, look at the police. They're moving in with riot shields. Ooh, they got out their batons. Ooh, it's like Selma. Ooh, I can feel the police dogs. Anderson Cooper would have been all over himself, screaming if they try to stop these animals before they burnt the city down.
Well, we have to decide as a society if we want this to continue, because it's not just...
We did decide. 2 weeks ago, we said throw the bums out. We said get rid of these racial haters. Get them out of there. What do you think we did 2 weeks ago? We said get rid of that bum in the White House.
But
what was that election about? It was a mandate about him and Holder.
It's going to start on the local level. You might have a sheriff one day who's not going to stand for it. Or on a smaller scale.
Oh, you mean like the dead sheriffs up in Sacramento, up there near Lake Tahoe, were killed by a Mexican illegal alien who had been deported twice and let back in because of Jerry Brown's laws and Nancy Pelosi's asylum? The Mexican illegal drug dealer who executed two sheriffs up near Lake Tahoe a few weeks ago. Did you hear any crying and screaming? Did you see their families burning down a building in Sacramento? You didn't hear a peep about it, did you?
No, and I...
They just buried those heroes. They just buried them. And the wives bit back their tears because they didn't have a Jesse Jackson or a lousy Al Sharpton speaking for them. And that's all I have to say at this moment. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not going to say I'll be right back. I'm going to say and now a word from our good supporters. And I want to put out a special word for something that I really mean, which I usually say. Because at a time like this, where there's so much, let us say, fear for a society run by these people, I would buy gold. And there's only one place to go for gold, and that's Swiss America. They've been with me for 20 years. And SwissAmerica.com has what you need for your security. 1-800-289-2646. That's what I would do in times like this. And I will be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
A body of pain and fuel of poverty, which is a weapon of mass destruction, precipitated by police action, triggered those riots. And that police behavior should,
the police
should have blacks and whites, men and women, but to be credible, this should reflect in the judges as well.
Can you believe this creature is still around, still stirring up the hatred that made him rich and famous? Can you believe that he's blaming the police for the burning of the buildings? This is like blaming the Ebola epidemic on the victims of the Ebola epidemic. This is what Jesse Jackson has done. In fact, he's so vile, in my opinion, that the protesters threw him out of Ferguson right at the beginning when he tried to raise money for his organization on Michael Brown's corpse. It's unbelievable to me. When we come back, we're going to ask you one question. Do you think Holder will bring a federal civil rights conviction against the officer? Even though he really can't, the evidence does not permit it. He may do it anyway. He's such a wonderfully fair-minded individual.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
First and foremost, we are a nation built on the rule of law. And so we need to accept that this decision was the grand jury's to make. There are Americans who agree with it, and there are Americans who are deeply disappointed, even angry. It's an understandable reaction. But I join Michael's parents in asking anyone who protests this decision to do so peacefully.
A body of pain and fuel of poverty, which is a weapon of mass destruction, precipitated by police action, triggered those riots. And that police behavior should, the police should have blacks and whites, men and women, but to be credible, this should reflect in the judges as well.
Turn him off. This guy's been around too long. He's been around so long. Just a con man from the top to the bottom. And Obama's the same, only smoother. That's all. He's no different than Jesse or Al. They come from the same cut of cloth, just a little slicker, that's all. Slick Barry. Remember you used to call him Slick Willie about Bill Clinton? You can't say Slick Barry, though, right? You used to call Bill Clinton Slick Willie, remember? Can't call him Slick Barry. See, Barry was very slick. He's one of the best rhetoricians I've ever listened to, Mr. Obama. Got up there and he said some will appeal, and some will agree, some won't agree, and he joins them in their feelings. But he didn't say that we're a nation of laws and anyone who violates the law, and I'm speaking directly to you now, those of you out in the streets to protest, while I sympathize with you, anyone who breaks the law will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and I will bring civil rights charges against anyone who commits arson or loots. Now just go home. He didn't say that, did he? No, the most racially divisive president in American history winked and nodded while making believe he was a man in the middle. This is how he got where he is. He's very, very smart. Next up to bat will be Eric Holder. And they're going to try and railroad the officer under a federal civil rights statute and lead to a separate prosecution in order to keep this alive at least another year or two, in order to stir up the masses and have them rioting just in time for the election when they can register them to vote. Because remember, these activities are all designed simply to register voters. But a federal case is very difficult to prove because the government would have to show not just that Officer Wilson improperly shot Brown, but also that he did it with the specific intention of violating the young man's civil rights. Impossible to prove. And even the fair-minded Attorney General Eric Holder said Monday night that, quote, federal civil rights law imposes a high legal bar in these types of cases. But he said the investigation remains ongoing. Why is it ongoing? Because he's got to keep stirring the pot. That's all. It's that simple. You got to keep stirring the pot. And now on to the callers of the Savage Nation. You've heard a lot about this for the last 24 hours. You've heard me opine on my views over the last hour and 5 minutes. And now I want to hear from you. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Robin, you have an opinion. Go ahead and express it, please.
Dr. Savage, please allow me to make a few points. My feeling is the police procedure needs to be examined. That's number one. Shoot to do the least harm. Recently, and I'm sure you're aware, that 12-year-old black child that was just shot and killed in the playground with a BB gun.
Yeah, I understand that. That's a clear and present execution, but it's a different case. Don't lump them together.
Muddy the waters here, but
you are muddying the waters. There was a struggle for the officer's life. I mean, don't omit that.
I do, but I'm still saying police procedure because he could have shot him and not killed him.
That's okay, let's examine that. Let's examine that. I hear that the average civilian who doesn't have a gun usually says that. Have you ever, first of all, are you licensed to carry a weapon?
Not right now, no.
Well, when were you?
I wasn't. I'm taking practice right now.
Uh-huh. Well, as you go from your training to your actual knowledge of how to use a firearm, and then you may apply for a license to carry a weapon, you'll have to take a course on procedures of when to use a weapon. And one of the first things you learn in these courses is that if you shoot to injure, not to kill, you're liable to get killed yourself. And the reason that is that the injured party usually become enraged by the first shot and kill you. That is something the average civilian doesn't understand. I've seen training videos where a man with a knife is approached by a man with a gun, and the man with the knife can cut the man with the gun to pieces if he gets within 6 or 8 feet of the man with the gun. Did you know that?
I see your point.
No, you don't see my point. There are people so skilled with knives that they, let's say you put up a gun, a guy's bothering you in the street when you have your gun, and you think it's going to protect you if you pull your gun out and you say, stop, stop, stop.
No,
if the man has a knife, he can cut you to ribbons if you let him get within 8 feet or 10 feet of you. And that's why police are told not only to shoot, but to empty their entire gun on the person they decide to shoot, because their life is at stake at that point. I didn't know that till I took the training. I was stunned to learn it when I watched the actual training films of what an enraged individual can do with a knife. But now let's look at a 280-pound man who's running at a cop like an enraged bull, according to the cop, and he feared for his life. That man, Mr. Brown, could have killed the cop with his bare hands. Do you know that?
I agree that that could possibly be true, yes.
Well, that I know it's a very, very hard thing for a liberal to understand. They want to have the narrative that he was an innocent youth coming back from school where he was going to be a brain surgeon. And the Ku Klux Klan member in a police uniform stopped him and for no reason whatsoever executed him in the street. That's the narrative that MSNBC would like you to believe, and CNN. That's the narrative Anderson Cooper goes to sleep with at night every night, dreaming of that narrative. But that's not what the case was, Robin. Now, do we wish that Michael Brown were alive? Yes, we all do. Do we wish that Officer Wilson had shot him in the leg and stopped him in the street, which is what you're saying? As he was rushing him, you're saying, why didn't he just shoot him in the leg? Is that what you're asking? It's an interesting question, and I don't know that my answer answers it directly. However, in reviewing the situation at that moment, you would say, well, why didn't he shoot him in the leg? I'll give you two reasons why he probably couldn't. It's extremely difficult to hit a person in a leg while they're moving at you at such speed with any accuracy. The chances are just as likely as that he would have missed. And then what would have happened? What would have happened then? And if Officer Wilson had been killed in the car by Michael Brown as he was wrestling his gun out of his hand, trying to get his finger inside the trigger guard, according to the grand jury testimony, and what if he had shot the gun in the car and Brown then disappeared into the projects and there would have been no evidence of who actually did this? Would we be hearing this case? Of this case, do you think there'd be Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and all the other outside agitators from Chicago and New York City down there for the last number of months? Of course they wouldn't be there. It would be just another dead white pig, right?
No, it's true. More excusable and disposable because blacks commit disproportionate amounts of crime. And law enforcement...
Wait a minute, you can't say that. That may be apparent, but it's not true, Robin, because they don't want it to be true. I mean, Eric Holder gave a speech saying that zero tolerance policies in school to prevent violence may be well-intentioned, but they seem to entrap more blacks than anyone else. Not because they're doing anything wrong, but because they're black. And as I said, wait a minute, that's like setting up a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit and catching the number of perpetrators seem to be predominantly white youths who tend to speed more than others. Would you say then that the 60-mile speed limit was set up to catch white youths? Of course not. But they're the ones who broke the law more often. Well, that's, of course, commonsensical, which is something that Eric Holder didn't learn in law school.
True.
Look, it's not a pretty situation for any of us. No one is cheering this death. You know, when I heard his mother crying, I heard my own mother's voice, to be honest with you. When I heard Michael Brown's mother, her heart was broken. Did you hear that tape that I played at the beginning of the show?
Right.
I mean, I heard my own mother. I heard my mama crying as if I had been shot in the street. So don't think I'm not compassionate for what happened. I understand it. It's a terrible situation for America. What makes it worse are the rats in the media who try to stir the pot and these civil rights racketeers who make their living off racial hatred. You see, we're gonna talk about this today and it'll be over tomorrow. I'm not gonna talk about it again tomorrow. It'll be over. I'll talk about turkey tomorrow and family and Thanksgiving and alcohol. I'll talk about how people fear Thanksgiving because they have to face relatives they really don't like. I'll talk about the increase in prescription medications that are taken around Thanksgiving and Christmas because of the stress of meeting your mother and father again or whatever, or a sister that you don't talk to. But today we're still talking about this, and we're going to keep talking about this right till the end of the show. And I have another hour and 45 minutes to go, and I'm just warming up. Did you hear me? I'm just warming up. We have one open line at 855-400-7282, and I'd like you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the good supporters of the Savage Nation right now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Every report by every lowlife reporter, every fake journalist said, unarmed black teen shot by white policeman. Every report tried to stir the pot. They are the reason that the cities are burning. Here is an email to the ABC News article, because Stephanopoulos is interviewing police officer Darren Wilson. As soon as I get off the air, it'll be up on television. And as I speak, New York is preparing for more burning and looting over the Ferguson decision. The vermin on the left are threatening to take over Police Plaza, plan protests in Union Square. Now, who is doing this? Who are these people? They're not working today. Who are they? They are trained agitators of the far left. These are communist agitators. By any means, this is all being run by the anti-American communist movement in the United States of America, the same movement that gave us Barack Obama. Write it down and laugh at it if you want. I don't care what you do. I know exactly what's going on. So New York's getting ready. Ferguson's getting ready for another night of fun. So you're going to see Wilson tonight on ABC News right after I get off the air, interviewed, and you'll hear what he has to say. But attached to the article is an email from a black gentleman who's unnamed, and he says he's a conscientious objector. And here's what the individual wrote. He said, if Darren Wilson was black, we would not be having this conversation. While I feel sorrow for Michael Brown's family, I'm sick and tired of my people using race as an excuse for bad behavior. He writes, race doesn't entitle you to steal a big screen TV from Walmart or break the windows of honest business owners. Race is now an excuse for riots. And every white cop is now a bigot who runs around killing black people. He says race needs to be eradicated from the social consciousness. If the politicians and the media didn't spend as much time reminding us we are separate and unequal, we would be like all the other countries where racism isn't even consideration. The word African American needs to be removed from any federal or local government and replaced with the word American. He writes, let's stop categorizing people. That way we can look past ourselves and focus on making America a proud nation of one color. Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin didn't deserve to die, but let's not make this about civil rights. Let's make it about violence and the behaviors that led to the shooting of these two young men. Our race needs more Martin Luther King-minded role models and less Jesse Jackson, Al Sharptons. I would add Eric Holders and Barack Obamas, by the way. That's an interesting email. I don't think he's the only one writing that. But it's not over yet. They won't stop. They won't stop. Nightfall's coming. The rats will be out in the streets again, burning and looting. Now, The National Guard was not called out, but it should be called out. The police let these animals in the streets protest and burn before they did anything. And Anderson Cooper and Schlepper Smith and all the other geniuses in the media said, oh, why are the police letting them do this? Where are the police? Do you know who's in charge, Schlepp? No, no, this is run like amateur hour. I was shocked listening to this. You mean if the police had acted sooner, Schleppy, you wouldn't have said they acted too soon, Schlepper? This is what passes for journalism today. Burn, baby, burn. They want it to burn. They want it to burn. That's what they make their living on. They make their living on violence, pain, misery, and suffering. And that's why they didn't like whatever the police did. Police didn't go out. They were wrong. Police did go out. They went out too late. The announcement was held during the day while good, honest working people were getting home from work so they wouldn't be affected by these street rats. Again, they did it wrong. Every genius, oh, we don't know why they didn't do it so late at night. Why didn't they do it during the day? Well, maybe if they did it during the day, the animals would have burned people in their cars. Maybe they would have yanked people out of their cars, moron. You couldn't figure that out, idiot. You can put two and two together that if you made the announcement, they knew the animals would have yanked people out of their cars and set them on fire. You idiots, you. They can't, no one can think. Of course they did it at night when the hardworking people got home from a hard day's work so they could pay for the welfare and pay for the insurance premiums that will pay for their little fun last night. That's why they did it at night. They knew that the animals were going to riot and burn and loot. They knew that white agitators came in from Chicago and been there for months, living down there, agitating down there, social networking down there. The whole thing was orchestrated from the get-go by the white communist agitators who came in there. You know that and I know that. You saw it coming. I watched it. I saw right after the announcement they started to start dancing already. All they needed was music behind them. And they waited for the signal. And somebody gave them the signal of the go time. And the game was on. And they've never had so much fun in their lives. After all, this was almost a Rodney King. So far, no one's been killed yet, thank God. But there's always another night. There's always another night. And Anderson's ready for tonight. And Schlepper is ready for tonight. They're all ready for tonight. They got their safari jackets out of the mothballs. And now it's Iraq. They don't even have to go to Iraq for that. This much fun. No, they're there ready for night number two. Anything to disrupt Whitey's Thanksgiving. Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, Schlepper. The Savage Nation. Now listen to these important messages from those who bring you the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
He testified for 4 hours, and you had to scratch your head, kind of like we all did, to say, when is the prosecutor going to cross-examine the killer of an unarmed person? A first-year law student would have did a better job of cross-examining the killer of an unarmed person than the prosecutor's office did.
This is St. Louis's race war. We didn't have a race war like other cities throughout the country. This is our race war. And people have to be open, and they have to be honest, and they have to be earnest. And they have not been earnest for decades. In my own experience, I know of people in my own party, in my own government structure, who disregard things that we say and how we feel, and we are not going to allow it anymore.
So here's a Democratic Missouri state senator who appears on MSNBC saying this is our race war and boasting about it. Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal, this is our race war. And we finally have one now. And to them, they never had such fun in their lives. And most of the businesses burned to the ground were minority-owned businesses. Now what the hell does burning Walgreens or looting Little Caesar's Pizza or robbing batteries and parts out of AutoZone, Beauty Town, Title Max? What about stealing things from O'Reilly Auto Parts? Is that any way to remember Michael Brown's life? Of course not. You know it has nothing to do with it. You know that the mobs in the streets were stirred up by the Missouri State Senator, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and the others. That's my opinion. They were told, go do it. They're justifying the depravity in the streets. And so now we have to pick up the pieces, those of us who work for a living. We have to continue working. We have to drive home through the looters and the rioters, praying they don't close down a highway. The rabble who do nothing productive for our society. What do they do for a living, these protesters? Where do they come from? How do people move into Ferguson for months at a time? Where do they earn a living? Did anyone ask that? Why didn't the FBI arrest them in advance, the agitators? Because they're working with them. And where was the National Guard? Well, they rightly didn't call out the National Guard, because then they would have been accused by Anderson Cooper of overreacting, being Nazis. Of course they didn't call out the National Guard, because then Schlepper Smith and Blondie there on Fox News would have said, oh, they overreacted. Oh, they provoked them by bringing out the National Guard with militarized units. No, but you didn't see Blondie standing out there in the street sympathizing with the rioters, did you? Where was Blondie? Blondie was in her studio there in Fox News. The police didn't bring out the militarized units because they would have been criticized. But because they didn't bring out the militarized units, they were criticized. So whatever the police did, they were criticized. Not one word was said about the animals in the streets burning and looting. Did you hear anyone criticizing them? Oh, pent-up hostility from the youth. That's all you heard. Pent-up hostility. Buried deeply embedded in the years of suffering embedded in you. That was Jesse Jackson. There was Sharpton down there. All 103 pounds of him. Listen to Jesse Jackson in clip 24. You're not going to believe the justification for the depravity. Listen.
A body of pain and fuel of poverty, which is a weapon of mass destruction, precipitated by police action, triggered those riots.
All right, we got the picture. The voice breaking at the appropriate moments. This way to the egress. P.T. Barnum is long dead, Jesse. No one buys your act anymore. WABC Brittany, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my boyfriend is a police officer, and I just wanted to say that if he was faced in the same situation, I hope that he would have the courage to do the same thing this officer did. If this officer was black, or if this was a black-on-black crime, or anything like that, or if the situation was reversed, we wouldn't hear a thing about it.
And how about in Utah? In Utah, in the last few months, a black police officer shot and killed an unarmed white teenager. Do you know that?
No, of course not. Why would
of course not. You didn't hear about that case, did you? That case didn't result in riots. There were no communist agitators. There was no white Jackson, no white Sharpton. There was no one speaking for the white teenager executed by the black policeman, who was only doing his job, you see, ma'am.
Because we feel this way. We're all racist, no matter how...
See, here's the problem that everyone's making. Whether it's Rush Limbaugh or anyone else, they're all making the same mistake. They think that by being sarcastic and repeating what the left wants people to think, that they're not repeating it. They are repeating it. Never repeat the big lie. Don't say we're all racist. Don't repeat that. Then you're buying into their game. Limbaugh's making this mistake every day on radio. Every day he repeats, well, they say we're this. No, don't say what they say. Don't buy into that. That's a big mistake. Thank you for the call. WJR in Detroit. Don, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah. How's it going? The main problem is, what about that little boy? I mean, let's characterize a boy. 12 years old, right?
Wait, what are we talking about now? What's going on in Ferguson or something?
Characterize an 18-year-old, 280-pound man as a boy.
You mean they're trying to paint him as an innocent boy. I get it. The big man who, at that age, by the way, could have enlisted in the military and been serving America instead of serving himself.
Hello?
Thanks for the call. No, this is not a good call. I could see he was just off the ball. That's all. Have we heard everything we're going to hear, or is there something new? WABC, John, you're next up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to mention that the people are saying that why did an unarmed person have to get shot and killed? But people don't understand that people die all the time after being punched.
That's correct. That's right. A fist against the head and a hard surface will often yield death.
Not necessarily. You can just get punched and die. Last famous case we had in New York was the Serbian basketball player who killed a fellow student at SUNY Binghamton after a bar fight, and he fled to Serbia.
Absolutely. A fist is considered a lethal weapon in a case.
Right. When you get punched in
a case like that, absolutely.
Right.
If you take the force of a fist of a 280-pound man against anyone, he could kill you with one blow. I'm surprised that Officer Wilson is this strong, by the way.
Right.
I'm amazed he did not get knocked out by that punch. He was hit twice in the face. How come he didn't get knocked out? This guy's made of iron.
I just happened to Google the story.
I think Officer Wilson deserves a commendation for standing up to this situation. I mean, everybody would have been happy if Officer Wilson had been shot with his own gun. That would have made Schlepper Smith real happy, wouldn't he? Would have ignored the story, him and the rest in the media. I've never seen anything like these jackals, never.
Right, and another caller pointed out that why wasn't he shot in the leg or arm? You know, when you're in the flight or fight situation, your adrenaline is so high, your hand begins to shake, and you can't aim accurately. And people don't understand that.
Oh, the average person doesn't even own a BB gun. Then why didn't he shoot him in the leg? Why didn't he use a taser? You hear? Why didn't he use a taser on him?
Another thing is that why didn't
Officer Wilson get out a beanbag gun and say halt? Maybe a beanbag gun would have been approved by the mob instead of a weapon. This guy agitated the cop. He called him a name. Did you know about that? Did you read the testimony saying you don't have the guts to shoot me? I'm being polite about it now.
Right.
He called him a name. He called him a derogatory name. He was taunting him, according to eyewitnesses.
And then
he rushed him like a linebacker with his head down. Did you read that, John?
Yes, I did. And this person was displaying gang signs that's similar to the Bloods gang sign. They do it in New York all the time, and they have photographs of this guy doing a gang sign that he belongs to the Bloods gang. And I don't understand why the media is not mentioning that either.
You don't understand. Ask Schlepper Smith on Fox News. Ask Blondie why she didn't report that. Martha Washington there on Fox News in her high and mighty studio, putting the cops down, trying to act like she's on their side. I saw that. She's become like a muscle relaxant for the left. You know who I'm talking about on Fox News there? Martha Washington? She's become a muscle relaxant for the left wing. Thanks for the call. I don't know why it's breaking up. I guess, whatever. All right. I don't know her name. The one with the everyday another hairdo with the falls on her head. What's her name? I don't know. Yeah, Megyn Kelly. She's acting like a muscle relaxant now for the far left on Fox News. Treating the disease of left wing activism. Acting like their personal muscle relaxant. A boutique newscaster for the left. Look, tomorrow's another day, you know. Who do you blame for the riots and looting? New York City is bracing for riots over Ferguson decision. Now, who are these animals in the streets of New York? Where do they come from? How do they have the time to do this? Robert Rector says, amnesty to illegal immigrants to cost taxpayers $2 trillion over their lifetime. That's already swept under the rug. That's right. The riots came just in time to sweep away Obama's last insult to the American taxpayer. Total benefits minus total benefits paid in for amnesty is $2 trillion over the course of the lifetime. Okay, but you're not going to hear about that. The cost of illegal aliens that Obama just brought into America. Michelle on WABC, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi, Ms. Dr. Savage. I just want to make a comparison. You didn't see any rioting in the streets or looting when O.J. Simpson got acquitted, did you? There was no agitator stopped in running in the streets saying it was wrong and not right. It's, you know, it's the same thing, different story, that's all.
Yeah, well, of course, no. The people who didn't riot have jobs to go to every day. And,
right.
The rioters apparently don't have jobs. Where do they get the time for this is the question. Where do they get the time for this? All right, Michelle, I understand you're not alone in your opinion, by the way. KVOR in Colorado Springs, Jessica, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. There was a guy who was shot just a couple blocks or whatever from where the Michael Brown was shot. And, I mean, he was a black man in his 20s, and nobody else seems to be getting angry about him dying. I mean, he was burned.
He was a black man shot by a white cop?
I don't know. I don't know who killed him. Nobody knows.
So what's the point of calling? You shouldn't have been put up by my call screener who's asleep there on the phone. She doesn't know. Calls the show, a national show. He doesn't put her up. That's all. Doesn't know what she's calling about. Doesn't know what happened, but a caller. I mean, you need a little screening here. I could do open mic here. It would be the same thing from what I'm getting. WMAL, Chuck, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, there's two points being missed. One, the media is still using pejorative terms. Instead of reporting accurately, which is that the grand jury could not find probable cause to indict, they're using terms, they refused to indict. They failed to indict. They did not indict. And second point, having lived in Missouri, I've served on a grand jury. There is no choice but for that to have gone to the grand jury under Missouri law. If the prosecutor elects to proceed, he can't do anything but go to a grand jury first.
The same agitators who were saying it should have gone right to a jury and skipped the grand jury, I would turn it on and say, next time one of your drug dealers is arrested there in Ferguson or St. Louis, should we skip the grand jury and go right to a jury trial? What would they say then?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, how come I'm the only one in the media who said that? Turn it on them. All these loudmouths with law degrees, fake law degrees, pushed in by affirmative action. They don't even know their own law. They're saying, oh, go, why a grand jury? Go right to a jury. Turn it on them.
Yeah.
Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, so far as I know, they don't have law degrees. I don't know what their degrees are in, other than racial hatred. A doctor of racial hatred. But the next time a drug dealer in New York for L.A. is arrested for drug dealing, skip the grand jury. Go right to a jury trial. Let's see what happens. Let's see what the shyster lawyer would say then. They'd say the due process was violated. So now Darren Wilson had due process and they don't like it. They didn't like the outcome because they wanted the outcome to be hang him high. They wanted mob rule. They wanted to hang this officer. It's plain and simple. You know that and I know that. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
And a lot of black folks are thinking this morning, you know, even if he was turning towards him, the fact is he was unarmed. And isn't there another way to handle that situation other than shooting this young man dead?
Why don't you go out there and be a policeman for one day in a ghetto and let us know the answer to that question? When you're trying to apprehend the felon who just beat up an Indian shopkeeper and stole merchandise from a store. And then come back with your college-educated voice and let us know how you would have talked to the youth, the poor unarmed youth. Now, here's my closing statement tonight for this hour. Are they protesters or terrorists? What's the difference? I mean, if a terrorist had set bombs off with a suicide vest, we'd say clearly the terrorists. But if protesters set buildings on fire and set off guns, why aren't they not considered terrorists? And while we're at that questioning, why has there been no investigation by the Department of Homeland Security of all the outside agitators who have been in Ferguson for months on end? The answer is because there is no Department of Homeland Security. It's another department wholly owned by the Obama administration to harass people they don't like. There should be an independent investigation by the FBI, by Homeland Security, perhaps by other agencies, of outside agitators, the college professors, the communists, members of the Communist Party USA who have been there agitating, college professors who have been there like boll weevils, instructing the terrorists on how to burn buildings down and not get caught. I mean, it's a valid point I'm making, and you know that. We just saw the two teenage female bombers killed more than 40 in Nigeria. They entered the busy marketplace today, their vests of explosives hidden beneath their full hijabs. The first terrorist detonated a bomb killing three women. As rescuers rushed in, the second girl screamed and set off her suicide vest, killing dozens more in Nigeria. More than 40 people died in a double suicide bombing in a provincial capital in northeastern Nigeria. So you say, well, why am I bringing that up? Why? Coming to a neighborhood near you soon? Who knows? Let's hope not. But here in America, we have our own homegrown terrorists. They're called liberal agitators who are setting buildings on fire and blocking roads. And I want to know why the FBI, who was down there in droves, didn't stop them. Instead of blaming the police, why don't you ask why Obama's FBI 100 of them were sent down there. Why didn't they arrest the agitators in advance? Where's the DHS? Isn't that their job to stop this event? They're useless. Useless. Useless department, DHS. That's their whole job, is to stop activities like this. Did they stop it? So don't ask yourself about the Ferguson police. Ask yourself about Obama's FBI and Obama's DHS. Why didn't they stop it? I'll be back for another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, there are going to be more riots tonight, and the Missouri governor says that there will be 2,200 National Guardsmen in place in the region near Ferguson tonight in the event the outside agitators stir up the masses who will commit more violence. The question I raise on the Savage Nation this hour is quite simple. Is it the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that is down there, or the Federal Bureau of Instigation that has been sent down there by Holder? You see, to an outside observer like myself, if you send 100 FBI agents down there, you would think they'd be investigating something. Well, what are they investigating? Can't they find the outside agitators and preemptively arrest them, detain them, before they burn and kill? So, if they're not doing their job, then what is the FBI doing there other than instigating the rioters by telling them they got their back? A few minutes ago... The man who runs the FBI, Eric Holder, you know, a very distinguished American who everyone trusts, gave a speech. Listen to it right now on the Savage Nation.
I wanted to provide a brief update of the Justice Department's ongoing efforts arising from the events in Ferguson, Missouri.
I can't listen to this.
I've been briefed today by the cops director, Ron Davis.
This disgraced director is going out. He's down there still agitating.
Deputy Assistant Attorney General Mark Kapelhoff and members of my staff, all of whom are here with me now.
Sure, I'm sure they were.
Seeing the federal investigations.
Why don't you investigate the rioters, Eric?
As well as the investigation.
What are you looking for? You know he's innocent. He defended himself properly.
Two investigations that are ongoing.
I'm not listening to it. I'm not going to do it. It's the Federal Bureau of Instigation under Eric Holder. Where is the Department of Homeland Security? Isn't their job to prevent exactly what's going on in America now? Where is Johnson? Another one of Obama's good friends. Where's Johnson now that we need him? Shouldn't the Department of Homeland Security be there defending life and property? Shouldn't they have prevented the fires last night? Shouldn't Johnson's Department of Homeland Security have detained the outside agitators before they burned and looted? Of course they should have. But they're not there. Where are they? I don't know where they are. I don't know what we spend trillions of dollars for on these people. What do they do for us when we need them? So we know that the game is loaded. It's a loaded game. It's a twisted field. And the cops can't win no matter what they do. The worst and most difficult job in America is being a policeman. The most difficult job in the world is being a policeman in the United States of America. Last night we heard the newscasters, Schlepp Smith of Fox News amongst them, Anderson Blooper of CNN. Where are the police? And the fires are going on. Oh, where are they? Oh, this is being mishandled. Well, why are there no police out there? Well, because if the police had gone out to take away the matches from the children, you would have said that they were violating their civil rights by taking away their matches and gasoline, right? Isn't that what you specialize in, Anderson? Of course, they wanted both ways. Whatever the cops did was wrong. So you say, well, where was the National Guard last night? If they called the National Guard out, the liberals would have said, oh, they overreacted. They came out with riot gear. Oh, they shouldn't have put on riot gear. They should have wore pinafores. The cops, they told the cops in advance, these agitators, what they could and couldn't do. No tear gas, no rubber bullets. No vests, no bulletproof vests. So the Crips and Bloods could have shot them dead in the street. no bulletproof vest, no this, no that. And don't militarize it. You're liable to scare the old ladies in Marin County. Ooh, look at the militarized police down there in Missouri. Oh, those fascist police. Why aren't they going out there in ballet tights and slippers and performing for the Crips and Bloods in the street? That's what's going on in America now. Blame the police no matter what they do. Blame everybody except the vermin in the streets who are burning and looting. Now, let's start with the timeline. What I'm about to tell you is a fact, my friends. These are the facts. Indian immigrant owns a little convenience store in Ferguson, Missouri. He worked his way up, saved his money, and opened the convenience store. He didn't want to collect welfare. He didn't want to sit on his fat behind doing nothing and complain. So he started with a little convenience store, and the thugs walk in and rob some cigars and some other goods. And when the poor little Indian, about one quarter the size of the youth, the innocent youth who was shot, objects, the innocent youth, Michael Brown, throws him around the store like a rag doll. It's all on videotape, if you care to watch it. It hasn't been taken down yet. What happens? He calls 911, reports a robbery. Reports an assault and a robbery. Put together, they're a felony. Now enter Officer Darren Wilson, riding around in his police car all alone. And he sees a youth in the middle of the street. And he says to him, "You're in the middle of the street, go over to the sidewalk." And as he does, he notices that the youth matches the description of the perpetrator of the crime in the convenience store. The rest, of course, is history, and you can take it any way you want. And you can put it any way you want it. And whichever side you're on, the rest is history that you'll have to decide on your own what happened. But you must understand the context in which the police officer, Wilson, met the poor innocent victim, Michael Brown. It didn't happen in a vacuum. And at this juncture, I will take your calls. No, I can't take the calls yet. Well, let me take one call from my hometown station in San Francisco, KSFO. Brad, welcome to the show. I understand you are a police officer. What's your opinion?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to share that from day one in the academy, me and my fellow officers, we go through training on the use of force, and it's a use of force wheel. So anytime I arrive on a scene in uniform, in a patrol car, or just me having my uniform on, that is level one of the use of force.
Right, that's right. Your presence alone is use of force. I agree. I understand that, rather.
Exactly. So then from there we go to verbal. Hey, law enforcement officer, have a seat, you know, what have you. And you work all the way up through your OC spray, control holds, all the way up to lethal force. So when I heard the caller earlier say, "Oh, shoot him in the leg," that just I had to call in and share, because when you draw your weapon as a law enforcement officer, you never shoot to wound. You shoot.
All right, now that's an interesting. But here's the point of departure. She doesn't understand why you don't shoot to wound. I tried to explain to her that an officer will never draw his weapon unless it's to shoot to kill, because you don't threaten and you don't shoot to wound, because often the officer will wind up dead. That's what I was trying to explain to her. In other words, the officer is trained not to pull his gun, and when he does pull his gun, he's going to use it. Isn't that true?
Yes, sir. So there's no rules about, oh, you have to work through verbal use of force to OC spray to all the way up.
But you see, they don't understand what's involved in your training and what your the threats that you face in such a situation. You got a 280-pound man charging at you after he tried to pull your gun and shoot you. What do you think would happen if he was not shot dead? Tell me what would have happened.
Unfortunately, I think that officer would have lost his life. And
right. Mr. Brown would have knocked him to the ground, gotten his gun, and the jackals would have jumped on him. A pack of jackals would have jumped on him and executed him in the street.
Yes, and what everybody leaves out is that Mr. Brown is a felon, so robbery, felony.
Yeah, but he committed assault and robbery, by the way. He wasn't just there taking a Tic Tac out of a store or a toothpick. He assaulted the little Indian. You know, they talk about his size. Have you seen the videotape of the East Indian shopkeeper who he threw around the store, who objected to him stealing the cigarette? Have you seen the pictures of that?
Yes, sir.
The East Indian shopkeeper weighs about, looks like 110 pounds. And Mr. Brown, the poor innocent medical student, threw him around the store like a rag doll and then walked out saying, go to hell, what do I care, I'll do what I want. So he had a real attitude, a chip on his shoulder. He figured he was above the law. And by the way, the poor guy, Mr. Brown, had a little history. Do you know about that?
I do not.
Did you know about his little history before this?
No.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of history about Brown. How about his dad? You seen the wonderful dad he had?
Yes.
The stepfather urging protesters to burn his bee down?
Yes. That's a great word.
Michael Brown's stepfather last night repeatedly urged protesters to burn this bee down. Lewis Head, an ex-con who was married to Brown's mother, another doll, Leslie McSpadden. You know about his mother may face felony armed robbery charges because she led a group of 20 to 30 people to a tent in a parking lot on October 18th to beat up and rob vendors selling justice for Michael Brown merchandise. Another prize role model for Michael Brown.
Yeah.
So she's facing felony armed robbery for allegedly attacking people in a Missouri parking lot because they were selling T-shirts honoring her late teenager. Okay, she led the crowd there. The grieving mom. Now, the grieving stepdad who said, burn the city down, had a little history. He said, burn this down, blah, 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 said 10 times, and he's wearing a shirt, blah, blah, blah. Head is an ex-convict whose rap sheet includes two felony narcotics convictions, according to state records. He pled guilty in 97 to marijuana distribution, nothing in San Francisco. And after violating probation, Head's release was revoked, and he was remanded to state prison. Of course, in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, he'd be invited into the governor's office. In 03, the dad was charged with narcotics trafficking, a felony count to which he later pled guilty. The St. Louis native was sentenced to 7 years in prison, released in 08. We could go on. There's quite a little rap sheet of the role models for Michael Brown. So you're saying, what does that have to do with an innocent young man being killed by a policeman? Well, there's a number of things that you have to know. He was not an innocent young man. He committed an assault on a little East Indian shopkeeper and then robbed the store of merchandise, admittedly not for a lot of money, and he shouldn't have been killed just for that. But he did threaten the officer's life, according to the grand jury testimony, which is why the federal government cannot indict him. They would have indicted him by now if there was no such evidence. He tussled with the cop, punched the cop in the head. This cop must be strong as hell to take a punch like that from a 280-pound drugged-up guy in the street. How did he survive a punch in the head? This guy's made of iron. He should be given some kind of medallion for surviving it. So now that happens, and the cop resists being shot by his own gun. Brown turns her away and walks away like he had his fun already. The cop gets out. Instead of driving away, now the cop could have driven away, by the way. Am I right about that, Brad, at that point?
We are lawfully obligated to not drive away and to not lose the fight. So,
in other words, so what I'm saying is, but the average civilian say, well, why didn't the officer just drive away or wait for backup? Because he was assaulted by a felon in the street. And he has honor and duty and courage, something the average person doesn't understand about the thin blue line. Honor, duty, and courage. And so he didn't lock himself in the car and call 911. He was 911. And so in order to live with himself, he knew he had the obligation, this young man, Officer Wilson, to confront and arrest Michael Brown. Michael Brown could have agreed, by the way, to be arrested. You know that after all of this. He could have just stopped and been arrested. And then he would have faced trial. He wouldn't have been shot. Isn't that true?
Yes, and something that us officers have to, the process that we go through, in a split second, we have to take all the information we have at that given moment and evaluate where we go from there. So Officer Wilson had just been violently assaulted. He knew Mr. Brown had already just robbed and assaulted the liquor store owner, and now he's fleeing. So there's a fleeing felony, a fleeing felon. You know, the mindset of Mr. Brown now is he's enraged, and Officer Wilson has to say, hey, this guy just assaulted a police officer, committed robbery, and now he's walking away from me. What if he ran into an elementary school or, another place and violently assaulted another suspect? Then it would be,
why didn't Officer Wilson subdue this man who just, you know, it's what you
well,
were...
We can't get into the what-ifs. All we know is what is. And what is he did commit those crimes. The officer had an obligation to detain him. And Michael Brown not only resisted arrest, but assaulted the police officer and then tried to attack him. So the issue is not that of an innocent youth walking around who was executed by a white cop. It's distorted by Anderson Cooper. It's distorted by Fox News. It's distorted by Blondie. It's distorted by the entire media. And I blame them, and I wish they would just stop it already, because tonight is another night for the rioters. And I want to know right now, by the way, Brad, thank you for your service. Stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, because I fear that this is the beginning of something worse. I fear this has all been orchestrated from the get-go. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, I want to pause now on today's show where we're dissecting what happened last night, the Ferguson case, what the vermin in the streets are doing and they're going to do again, the reaction of the police, the wink and the nod from Obama and Holder, which seem to be keeping this going, why DHS is not involved in arresting the agitators, why the FBI is there and not arresting the agitators. How do you like my driving, though, so far? How's my driving? Have I given you your money's worth on the Savage Nation today? Do you feel that my show was worth your time? Because I'm giving you everything I can. I'm giving you everything and then some. I'm trying to maintain a balance, and I'm trying to bring you some new ideas here. And if I would look back on my own show, although I invite you to say what you think, both pro and con, about my handling of it so far, I would say the two of the most salient points that I brought to the discussion that I have not seen anywhere else are the following. One, what are the FBI agents doing down there? In other words, if Holder sent 100 agents down there, what were they sent there for? Wouldn't their job have been not to harass the police, which is what they're apparently doing, which is why the police didn't act last night until the last minute after the fires were started? They're probably afraid the FBI would arrest them. What would you do if you were a local police officer and a captain, and you were surrounded by 100 hostile FBI agents waiting for you to do anything that you had to do to stop this mayhem? You'd be afraid that you'd be called up on civil rights charges for violating the rights of the Crips and the Bloods and the outside communist agitators, right? So they did nothing. You see, the FBI should have preemptively detained the outside agitators who were egging the crowd on. So that's one thing I brought up that I didn't hear anywhere else or read anywhere else. Number two in the Savage Nation is the DHS. Department of Homeland Security is supposed to prevent this kind of insurrection. What have they done? What has Jad Johnson done to prevent this, and what is he doing to prevent it tonight? Answer, Jack. Jack, nothing. So the Department of Homeland Security is failing us once again. Attention, congressmen and senators. You're going to be having a new government in January. Pay note!
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That we still face as a nation.
Same narrative.
The fact is, in too many parts of this country, a deep distrust exists between law enforcement and communities of color.
There it is. Slick.
Some of this is the result of the legacy of racial discrimination in this country. And this is tragic because nobody needs good policing more than poor communities with higher crime rates.
So what's your answer? A federal police force? That answer only to you, Barack Obama? Is that what you want now? The dictator was just thrown out of office 3 weeks ago at the ballot box. Of course, he didn't leave because we have a primitive system in this country. It's not a parliamentary system where he'd be gone. He'd be back teaching at a university somewhere by now, but was stuck with him for another 2 years and was stuck with the racial enmity that he is famous for. But the fact of the matter is, it was reported that the day after the election, when he was repudiated at the ballot box by the legitimate voters of America, that he invited the leaders of the Ferguson lynch mob to the White House, and he said to them, stay the course. Now, what do you think Barack Obama was planning along with Eric Holder when he told the rioters' chiefs to stay the course? Can you figure out yet what I've been trying to tell you? I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. Yeah, I hope you buy it for Christmas. Yes, I do. But in the beginning, I start by showing you speeches that the First Lady Nancy Pelosi and Eric Holder gave last June at graduations, where they were already stirring the pot, stirring up racial enmity. I concluded my book by expressing my fear of a war between Americans orchestrated by Barack Obama. And then I concluded my conclusion by encouraging you to vote. I knew that there were millions of you who weren't voting anymore. You had given up on the political process. And this small book, which sold sufficient copies to have been discussed around America, this book had many of you vote who hadn't voted for a long time. And I said to you, in the last paragraphs, I said, if this large block of voters actually voted against the treason, incompetence, and indifference, they could save the nation. And then I ended like this. I said, I hear the roar of those patriotic voices every day on my national radio show. I feel the conviction in their belief. I sense the soundness of their ideals, and I hear the strong beats of their patriotic hearts. When you went to the ballot box because of me, and guess what happened? We got nothing. We got nothing, zero. Have you heard John Boehner or Mitch McConnell say one word about the rioters? Have they told you their opinion yet? No, they left town. McConnell is hunting turkeys, and Boehner is probably on the wild turkey right now as I speak. So we have no Republican leadership whatsoever. We still have a mob rule in the White House, a mob that was just repudiated at the polls, a mob whose left-wing agitation policies were just voted out, and here they are doing it all over again. You see, a legitimate president who really didn't want riots last night at 9 o'clock Eastern would have gotten up and said the following. He would have said, while I understand the outrage of many of you out there, I want to remind you that we're a nation of laws. The law has spoken. And I will have anyone who violates anyone's civil rights or commits any kind of burglary or arson, you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and I will bring federal civil rights charges against anyone agitating to do such things through the Anti-Riot Act. That's what a legitimate president would have done who did not want riots and looting and larceny and arson. But you didn't hear that, did you? Instead, we had Slick Barry at work again, pulling the wool over the eyes of the Americans, acting like Mr. Neutral, Mr. Nice Guy. What does he mean by stay the course? Stay the course? Well, they still won't let it go. How come Holder won't let it go now? What's he trying to do? He knows that there's no grounds to indict Officer Wilson. He knows that. So what does he mean by stay the course? They're going to keep this going as long as they can and then throw a hot potato into the Republicans' laps in January. If they could have 10 cities on fire and agitation going on in 10 cities, can you imagine what a wreckage that would be for the Republican majority come January? Isn't that exactly what community organizers of this ilk would be scheming to do with their friends such as Jackson and Sharpton and Anderson Cooper and Shepard Smith? Isn't that what they would like to do? Keep the pot boiling? After all, it's good for the ratings on Fox. Blondie might have to go buy a few new falls for her hair. Miss Martha Washington is now suddenly acting like a tranquilizer of the left, taking their side while not taking their side. She's become like a politician herself. She's no longer on the conservative side. Now all of a sudden, Blondie on Fox News, the great white hope, as it were, all of a sudden she's sympathetic to the rioters. How did that happen? How did she become sympathetic to the illegal aliens and to the rioters? I don't know the answer to that. All I know is that it's all about ratings. But separate from ratings, there's actual truth. And to me, the truth is quite clear. And it all starts in that little liquor store, that convenience store down in Ferguson, when a little immigrant from India who saved his money because he didn't want to go on welfare, he had self-respect, and he wanted to build his life in America. So he didn't move into a housing project and ask the government to give him anything. The Indian immigrant put his money together, probably with his brothers and cousins, and opened a little convenience store in a bad neighborhood. And he was eking out a living. And then the thugs walk in, and they rob cigarillos and some other little things. And then when he objects, they throw him around the store like a rag doll, and they walk out laughing. So the little immigrant calls the police, calls 911, and says he was just robbed. You didn't hear that tape, did you? Anderson Blooper didn't play that for you? Schlepper Smith didn't play it. Blondie didn't play it for you. The 9/11 tape of the Indian shopkeeper calling 911 after you've been assaulted and robbed. You didn't hear that on Fox or CNN or MSNBC, did you? But it exists. That tape exists. So a bulletin goes out. Look for a certain guy who's a big guy and blah, blah, blah. And Officer Wilson's driving around. The rest is history. So it wasn't as though he was an innocent kid walking back from medical school or from piano lessons. He wasn't coming back from studying Tchaikovsky on the piano, and he was suddenly stopped by a Ku Klux Klan member who was on duty that day, as the media would have you believe, who just shot him in cold blood. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, and it's all because of Barack Obama, or it wouldn't have happened. He could have nipped this in the bud from the get-go. Holder could have nipped it in the bud by not fanning the flames. That's one man's opinion. Whether you agree with me is another story. I don't expect most of you to agree with me, frankly. I don't. I have come to understand that I see things in a different way than most Americans. A, I'm from another generation. B, I believe in law and order. And I want a law and order president. And I was laying in bed last night after watching these rioters. I was fuming. I wanted to grab through the screen and strangle people. I wanted to strangle half the media types who were saying things about the police and the agitators. But, of course, you can't do that. It's just psychological warfare that you have to commit in order to survive in this business that I'm in. And as I fell asleep, I woke up about 3 a.m. and the words law and order came to my mind. And I said, where is the law and order candidate that we all need to save this country from the distress that Obama has put us in? Is there one Republican candidate, I thought to myself, who is a law and order man? And I don't know of one. I don't know one of them who speaks about borders, language, and culture the way I do. And moreover, I don't know of one of them who speaks about law and order. Where is that strong candidate who will get up and say, we want law and order in America, and I'm the new sheriff in town, and if you elect me, I will bring law and order to America? You haven't heard that, have you? And then Obama gave a speech the other day saying that America, when I get through in a couple of years, they want a new car smell in the White House. Now, that was, of course, a way of destroying Hillary Clinton's candidacy, as you well know, because they know she gives off anything but a new car smell, and we don't have to get into any derogatory commentary going forward. But she is certainly not the new car smell America wants. It is wide open for a Republican law and order candidate to take the presidency. It is his to have. It is his or hers to have. Do you realize that? We need a law and order candidate. And that's all I want to say at this junction. Obama says stay the course. What did he mean by that? Now, tonight's another night. The rioters are going to be out again. The rioters are out there right now. They're getting ready. Smoking a joint, passing a bottle, coking themselves up, getting the old lighter fluid ready and the matches, getting ready. And again, you will see the vermin in the media out there saying, well, where's the National Guard? Well, why did the police not go out earlier? Why didn't they take away the matches? Because then the FBI would have said that they stepped on the civil rights of the poor, innocent protesters, who to me are terrorists. That's all. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. This is Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls right now. KCMO in Kansas City or St. Louis area. Joanne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you. I was calling, I thought it was interesting that you had mentioned the terrorist bombings, and then you've been mentioning the agitators and the fact that the protesters are terrorists. And I'm thinking that the agitators are doing work of the terrorists. They are creating a fertile ground where an ISIS-type group mentality can come in and pick these people who have been made to feel, you know, like they have the right to...
That's exactly right. That's what the left is praying for, which is they can get these agitated, unwashed masses, these uneducated morons in the streets, to suddenly become the tools of the Islamic fascists.
And then
that's right. But that's where the left and the Islamo-fascists have long had an accord. The left and the front groups for the Islamo-fascist front have long worked together. And this is a fertile ground for recruiting such individuals who are in and out of jail anyway, many of them. You know that.
That you talk about, it might not even just be about minority races against a perceived majority race. It might very well be ISIS terrorist versus non-terrorist.
Well, where's the Department of Homeland Security? Why is the FBI not arresting the outside agitators or detaining them or questioning them? What are they there to just harass the police for doing their job?
Exactly. And that's
what is the Federal Bureau of Instigation doing down there? What are they doing? What were they sent there for by Holder? To do what? To harass the police, intimidate the police, or to intimidate the rioters? Obviously, it's the former, not the latter. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N. We do have breaking news on the Savage Nation. Remember, we have a U.S. Defense Department. And remember that Obama fired the Defense Secretary, Hagel. And several names were floated. And we were told we were going to be regaled with the first woman Defense Secretary, as though that's a qualification unto itself. Well, the first woman Defense Secretary nominee has withdrawn from consideration as U.S. Defense Secretary, which is great news. Not because she's a woman. I'll take a woman any day. But because she was a regular on the left-wing circuit. And it seems somebody found something embarrassing, and they knew that she could never clear Congress. So that leaves a few other candidates, and the right one will never be picked, which is what is the senator's name from Rhode Island, who I really, really... Jack Reed, 82nd Airborne, Democrat senator. He's the absolute best qualified man for the job as defense secretary, which means he will be immediately removed from consideration by the agitator in the White House. And that's your breaking news on the Savage Nation, except for this. Play the breaking news sound, because this is even bigger right now on the Savage Nation. And this is so sickening. It just shows you the breakdown of our government. The New York Times has just published Darren Wilson's address as Ferguson simmers. That's right. You heard it first on the Savage Nation. The New York Times just published Darren Wilson's address information as Ferguson simmers. The New York Times published information about the address of Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson in a move that has generated controversy. Now, why would the FBI have not stopped the New York Times from putting this target on the officer's wife and family? Why would the Department of Homeland Security not treat this as an act of terror? Answer, because they're not on your side. Ladies and gentlemen, they printed his street name in the nation's most influential newspaper on the very same day the grand jury handed up a decision on the indictment. That's the New York Times under the little man, Pinchy Sulzberger. That's what's going on in your country, and the government is doing nothing to protect the policeman nor his new wife. They have been driven out of their own home. They have not been seen, and yet the Times included the street name. And so now the neighbors of Officer Wilson are in danger because of the insane anti-American policies of Pinchy the Boy Sulzberger at the Old York Times. And of course, the FBI should investigate this, but they won't. And the Department of Homeland Security should have stopped this, but they won't. And the rest is history. Let's go to a few callers on the Savage Nation. Colorado Springs, Bob, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Doctor? Dr. Savage?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage?
Yes, you're on the radio. Yes, already with the doctor. Yes?
Okay, listen, I got sick to my stomach last night watching the riots in Ferguson. I was in two riots. I was in the Watts riots in 65 and the Washington, D.C. riots in the end of 66, 67.
Right. So what's your main point?
The point I'm trying to make was the National Guard and the police didn't do anything. They were left.
Right, and you're right. Why didn't they? Do you know why?
Well,
they were intimidated by Eric Holder's Justice Department goon squad, who was watching their every move. They were afraid to do anything because the goon squad called the Federal Bureau of Investigation was there watching the police, not watching the agitators, Bob. They were afraid to do anything.
Yeah, I know. It's going to end up, we're going to have to do...
We're not living in America anymore. We're living in Barry Obama's America, which is a different country. They come from a different country. They don't live in the country where there is a rule of law. They understand one thing, which is community organizing and the mob rule. And that's why the police and National Guard were quite intimidated last night. Thank you, Eric Holder. Thank you, Jed Johnson. Thank you, Barack Obama, for burning, baby, burning. Tonight is another night. Thank you for listening to the program. And boy, do we ever need to pray for this country. We have two more years of this crew, and God knows what they might do tomorrow.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.